Welcome to Church Media HQ, where we help your church make meaningful connections with people in your community, whether they're in person or online. And you only pay us when you like what you see. So one of the greatest factors about Church Media HQ and what makes us different is that we don't require upfront payment to actually get started on a design or creative project for you. For example, if you're looking for a design for an upcoming sermon series or event or something like that, all you have to do is send us a request at churchmediahq.com. We will get started and send you the graphic, and you're only going to pay us if you like what you see. Same thing with a website. If you want to get a fresh new website that our team actually puts together for you, you're not having to do the work yourself. We do it for you. There's no upfront cost required. You just simply let us know that you want us to get started, provide us some basic information about your church, and we take it from there. And then again, you're only going to pay when you like what you see. Church Media HQ is, our desire is to help as many churches as possible use the power of media to reach their communities and to ultimately spread the awesome message of Jesus Christ. And we understand that budget is such a huge factor when it comes to your church. And so we don't want that to be an obstacle. We don't want to be sticker shock or price at all to be a barrier that prevents you from getting started. That's why you can start for free. And if you never pay, if you can never afford any of the services that we offer, as affordable as we try to make them, we understand that that may not be something that is realistic for your budget, at least not right now. Well, we are thrilled to continue to offer you free resources like these free weekly episodes, the free graphic of the week, free coaching sessions, and a lot more. So you can get started for free, no upfront cost. Get us started on your next design project or a new website at no cost to you. Get started for free today at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. Well, my guest today is no stranger to Church Media HQ. In fact, we consider him a regular Church Media HQ contributor. Now, it has been a little while, I should say, since he's been on the podcast. We've taken a little bit of a sabbatical, but I am very excited to welcome back Jeremy Linnentime to the podcast. Jeremy serves as an administrative and outreach pastor in the Albuquerque area in New Mexico, and he has a lot of insight on marketing, media, outreach, and I really am excited to share our conversation with Jeremy today. And so we're going to get to that conversation here in just a moment. I'm your host, Luke Clayton, and welcome to Church Media HQ. I have really changed what I think about a lot of things. Like, you know this, and you and I, we defer on this a little bit, but I used to be really big into, I was all about big events, and now I'm more about, I'm not so much into events as I am into, like, sermon series and campaigns and things like that. So, which Easter, though, that's exception. Like, you gotta make a big deal of that one, regardless. If not, you're missing the boat. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever, well, no, go ahead. You were going to say something, because I was going to change topics.
Yeah, no. I was going to say, since, I mean, I'm also onto that too. I mean, I'm kind of like following your transition. I'm just not as far on it as you are, right?
So I'm always more radical. Like,
but that's, I mean, that's what you get to do though, right? You get to push the envelope because you don't have to actually like implement it on a day-to-day necessarily, yeah. Right?
So well,
I'm glad you have those ideas, because otherwise I'd just be stuck in the same frame of mindset, right?
Yeah,
so someone needs to be pushing.
I don't have to deal with like the fallout, because I don't have a church. I just give people with churches ideas. And you know, when you're right. Like, hey, that didn't go over well, I'm like, oh, well, sucks to be you.
Like I always look at this, people look at it badly, but I mean, who should be the most progressive in music at a church? The music director, right? They should always be the one pushing, and then someone needs to tell them, like, oh, okay, all right, you know, come in a little bit, right? I mean, so that push and pull is a healthy thing. So you kind of pushed me out of my, so yeah, if it wasn't for you, I'd still be doing the same like events, like every, you know what I'm saying? So,
well, you, yeah. Well, and you, and I know with you, it's tough. Like you have trouble talking, you know, your pastor and the others there out of stuff. Cause I know you've talked about these events that you guys have done for years and you'd rather not do them, but you're kind of, you, that's not really your decision, you know?
Yeah, not fully. And I would say here's the reason why I would never go away from them fully. And I think this actually is where modern churches make a little bit of a mistake. Those type of big days, I know that we kind of get tired of doing them, you know, because, but they really are something that gets people excited, right? And it gets them a reason to like, oh, hey, this is, you know, that kind of thing. So even though sometimes it's annoying to us, I think it's a useful tool to our people that we should keep using. But all right, anyways, but you're right. I mean, we definitely have probably overdone them in our circle for a long time. I always say our circle, we're in the same circle. I'm never going to give up on that.
Hey,
our
circle's
the same circle.
You're right, because my circle is the Preach Jesus circle. So you're correct.
Exactly. Exactly.
But no, I mean, I've got nothing against the events. My main thing has been, especially COVID kind of showed us this in a big way, is, you know, these attractional, there are certain churches really of all stripes, all flavors, if you will, that, you know, they're really big into, they're very attractional based, very event based. And it's all about, and I mean, when you think about the mega of the mega churches, they're the ones that can really get accused of that, because it's all about, you know, the next big thing and getting people interested. And I think there is, I have seen churches get really caught up in such a busy, and you probably, all churches can relate, you can probably relate to some extent here, but I've seen churches get really caught up in event, in just having to keep up with the calendar, that they're dropping the ball, if you will, in other areas of, you know, discipleship. That's why I'm a big fan of, you know, more about, you know, we've talked about small groups and the value of those. And, you know, that is something I appreciate about certain models of churches, is they, and you guys, I see you guys doing this too. I mean, they really try to push people into the small groups, to find that more meaningful connection. And so there's, of course, there's always a healthy balance in everything.
Absolutely. All right. So topics, unless you like kind of hoodwinked me, and that was actually,
well, that was actually really good content. So we're
just
in
using
it.
That.
We are in it now. And nowadays I do everything I can to keep from actually having to edit. So we're just going to keep this flowing, and here it is. And all you're getting raw conversation here, our dear listeners out there. I was going to ask you this though, with events in mind, and we're a little out of date here in terms of, this will be relevant in another, you know, 11 or 12 months. I think I know your answer here, and I think we may have touched on it before. Do you guys do anything there to acknowledge Super Bowl Sunday? Because I know that's to some that's taboo, and to others it's like, no, fair game. I don't know. Maybe we've discussed that before, but that we're just coming off of the Super Bowl a few weeks ago, so I don't know. What do you guys do anything play to that at all?
Yeah, we've taken all kinds of sides of the coin on that one. This year we didn't do anything with it. And I'm not against anyone who does anything with it. In fact, maybe in the future we do. I just kind of took the approach of, you know, we can't do all the things, right? And so for us, it's not really, even if we tried really hard, there's a couple of mega churches in our town that they really make big hay on Super Bowl Sunday. But even if we tried really, really hard, it wouldn't be a huge day for us, for the simple reason that we do have a Sunday night church. And so unless you're willing to A, cancel it, B, drastically move it, C, just turn it into watching the Super Bowl together. Mm-hmm. Being right in the middle of Super Bowl kind of hurts that. So, I mean, the morning of, we could do something, I guess, but we just, and I'm not against, I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of great ideas about it. I just felt like it's something we couldn't do that well, and something that's not really like 100% our flavor. And so trying to be something that you're not kind of tends to typically fall flat, you know? And so it's not like a great option for us, but I've seen a lot of people do it well, and maybe I'll look at it in the future. We just didn't do anything with it. So,
Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering because I don't know. I mean, again, I think you're right on. Like, you have to be true to who you are, and you know, forcing something. I think a lot of it. I don't know. Well, sports and the NFL in general is pretty commonly, like, it's pretty popular, no matter, regardless of where you're located, at least in the United States. But I mean, you guys don't really have there in your area. You guys don't have a local team necessarily. And so there, anyway, so I'm sure that might play into it as well, but no, I've seen some churches, you know, I've seen some churches go all out for it, and I've seen some churches hardly even acknowledge it's a thing. You know, the pastor might make a reference to it in the sermon, you know, hey, who's for this team, who's for that team, and that kind of is the end of it. So, no, I like I said, I was just curious. It's not one of those things, that's not a hill I'm going to die on, that's for sure. But just curious, because it is crazy how the Super Bowl has become just really a national holiday almost. You know, and I think this year they set the record for viewers or something like that. So it's the popularity of that is so big. So anyways, I was just wondering if you guys had done anything with it.
Yeah, and I think the compromise middle spot you could take, or like if you didn't want to go all in, for example, I know a lot of people have like the kids come dressed up on the day, right? Like the kids can wear anything, sports or whatever. And I think that's probably a good position for us in the future, is if it's not going to really like hit strong on the adult side. And for us, we're just not like a football church anymore. I mean, like 10 years ago, we would have all kinds of people, but I just think some people kind of checked out of the NFL and it's just not that big of a deal for us. But kids like anything dress up, right? So if we could tap into that in the future, I think that'd probably be a really smart, you know, smart move and stuff too. So I was going to tell you, I'm sorry, this is going to make you edit it now. I'm sorry. But I was going to say, if I don't know if you actually ever did this, but I was following some guy's post yesterday. I thought it was a really, really good idea. But have you ever done any episodes whatsoever on different ideas you can do to engage the community creatively with the gospel? In other words, like do good projects essentially, or like, what does Lancaster call them?
Where? Oh yeah. Like the love works and the,
yes.
Oh yeah. Correct. No, I guess I've never really, we've never really explored that element of it in particular, which I've seen again, like that's become a more popular thing to, at least that I've noticed in the past few years. A lot of churches are adopting some type, like you're talking about the, where you have a campaign more or less, like, hey, for this whole week or 2 weeks, we're going to just be doing a bunch of special community projects.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And so if you were about to go somewhere else and continue the podcast there, I'm so sorry to stop your momentum.
No, not at all.
I don't know if you had anything. I was just like, okay. I can't keep going on this subject much, you know, but
no, we were talking about events and then that just came to mind. And like I said, that the Super Bowl at this point, by the time this is released, it's going to be super irrelevant. I mean, the NFL draft will be closer, you know, than the Super Bowl was by the time this gets out there. So no, you're good, on shifting to that. Cause yeah, that's actually something, that is, like I said, I think it's a really great way to do outreach. So have you guys done a lot with that? Or I know we've talked about it, but I mean, where are you guys at on how you guys are approaching something like that?
Yeah. So last year we did a campaign that we just simply called it, Do Good, and based it out of the verse that Jesus went about doing good. And, forget the exact reference now. We talked about it a lot last year, but we're going to continue. We'll just make it a staple of our church. Now, last year we hit it really, really strong to emphasize it. This year we don't have that exact theme, but I'm going to have a Do Good onboarding, Sunday, in the next couple of weeks. And so what we're going to do is I'm currently putting together a calendar of, okay, for this year, here's all of the Do Good projects we're going to do, estimated dates that we're going to do them. And then that will be in some, before we did it, a form people could fill out and turn in. I think this year we're going to try to lean more heavily into QR codes, because that's been really working well for us, both in the bulletin and then on the screens. And then people can just go on that online form and just pick. And so it was really simple last year. I think probably this year, again, we had six different ones we did, which is a little ambitious. We ended up pulling off five of those six, which I was happy about. But people could just put their name, their phone number, and then they could just click whichever ones they thought they would want to be part of. And then I get all that data on the back end. And then so as we came into July, we're having a backpack drive for back to school, right? I would just contact those people, those, you know, 30, 40 people. Hey, you said this would be something you want to be part of, you know, can you bring in a backpack now? And I just kind of sent out that general text for a lot of them. And people responded really, really well to that. So what I thought was really great was, you know, if you're in church work, you're always trying to figure out, okay, how can I motivate those people that are kind of low connection to my church, right? Like, let's say they come 2 Sunday mornings out of a month. That's it. That's all they're giving you, or maybe 3 Sunday mornings. They're certainly not coming back on multiple services in a week. How do you engage those people? If you just stand up there and say, hey, we're all going to go out and, you know, give out the gospel, you know, whatever, they don't show up for you. And so I thought with this project, maybe if it's something like, you know, could you provide a meal at Thanksgiving? Could you buy a backpack, you know, school supplies? Would they get involved? And they did. It worked really, really well. So a lot of those people signed up and signed up for multiple ones throughout the year. In fact, we found that of those 6 events that we offered, if someone signed up, they averaged signing up for 3 different ones that they wanted to do throughout the year.
Wow.
Some of them were super, like some of them were super easy, right? It was just like they bought a backpack, they dropped it off. But then some of them were like our oil change Saturdays. We did 50 oil changes for single moms on a Saturday. And so we had like 16 guys that showed up here and they were just getting cars through, right? Hmm. We bought all the stuff. It was a pretty expensive Saturday for us.
Yeah.
Just at like $1,000, I think.
I'll say 50 cars. That's a lot. I mean, that's impressive. You guys should open a shop. That's pretty good.
50. Yeah. We were churning them through like Walmart, you know?
Yeah.
So we started at like 8 a.m. I had an 8 to 12 crew and then I had a 1 to 4 crew. And I think they got done at 4:30 with the last one. But that was super impactful. And side note, well, we can talk about this, but I mean, it blew up all over social media too. Mm. Even, and this is what I thought could happen and it worked. Even people that were, you know, they didn't need their car done, right? Or they were married, they had a husband, they, you know, they were great. They didn't need that. They still were jumping on and commenting, like either suggesting people, you know, tagging them or just saying like, this is so nice of your church to do this, and, you know, that kind of thing. So even if it wasn't someone who came, the positive kind of energy and feedback that we got from that was really, really huge. So I'm going to do that again in a couple of weeks and just lay out this year. I think I'm just going to pick 5 and do them. I got a really good idea yesterday of one to do. And so, I mean, we can go into different ideas that you can do, but I think that if your church has only like traditionally been, you know, soul winning and passing out tracts or whatever, that's good. Maybe it's time for you to pair in like 1 or 2 in a year of just a, you know, love works or do good or whatever you want to do them. Community projects is what we call them. And I think a lot of your marginal people will respond really well. And hopefully it's a good stepping in point for them, right, to get involved and to try out something else.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot I want to unpack there. So first of all, so what you guys do is you have, it's essentially an ongoing campaign, right? You have, you kind of have a launch date, you know, in the spring where it's like, hey, we do make a big to-do of signing up and getting involved with it, but the events are spaced out throughout the remainder of the year. Is that what I'm understanding?
Correct. Yeah. So we went ahead, since we knew it was going to be an ongoing thing and we liked the name, right, of Do Good Community Projects, we went ahead and got a logo for it. It was like a background of our city and then the logo in front of it. So when people see it, they know, okay, hey, that's what that is. So yeah, I had a big enlistment Sunday where the sermon was tied to it about Jesus went about doing good, right? And just getting them motivated for that. And then saying, here's how you can get involved. You know, no matter how connected you are to our church, even if you're not a member of this church. And we actually had several families that came that they're not even at our church now. They didn't come back, but they showed up to help because they just wanted to give back. And so, like I said, we rolled out that form and people filled it out. And then I collected all that, put it into a spreadsheet. And then you're right. So that was the enlistment day. And then as the different events were coming up on the calendar, you know, then I would go before the people and say, you know, through our announcement videos or announcements, hey, you know, a lot of you signed up for this, you know, oil change campaign or whatever, and it's coming up in 2 weeks. Just want to let you know about that. I'll be contacting you, giving you more information. And that's all I said in church. And then I really worked the phones on contacting people who had already signed up. I had their phone numbers. And so contacted them. And I found that like 90% of people that signed up and said, I will do that, did do that. So they were committed to follow through on it.
Yeah.
And I went and encouraged our staff too. I said, look, you guys are already doing a lot of stuff. You guys are already going out weekly, you know, witnessing and stuff like that. If you want to sign up to one or two, that's great. But this is mostly for people who need to step in to give them a spot to step in. So I said, don't feel like I'm asking you to sign up for all these things. Let's get other people involved. And that's what happened. And most people that signed up were kind of marginal people. And so that was kind of the power of that campaign. We'll do it again this year. We'll probably just do it ongoing. How many we do in a year? If we do 3 to 5, you know, in a year, I was probably a little too ambitious rolling out 6. But it was a good to kick off that year. So,
yeah, well, I like that approach because again, the other approach that I've seen, that's probably more, I don't know if it's more common. It's just what I'm more familiar with is you do a campaign like that, but you do it over the course of like 1 or 2 weeks. So you're packing all of your, opportunities, your activities, into just like a span of like a week or two. And, again, the church that I used to work at, we would do that, and they've been doing it for years, and that's how they do it, and it works for them. And they're a larger church, so they're able to do a lot. I mean, they're able to cram in a ton during that week or two. But I like this. I like how it's, first of all, it's saying, hey, there's no sense of, I mean, a sense of urgency can be good, but there's no sense of, hey, you got to do this now, whatever. It seems to me like you're more saying like, hey, if you're interested in this, here's what we're going to be doing. Let me know. And then we'll get back to you and provide the details later. It's kind of like a no commitment thing, but yet you're saying, you know, 9 out of 10 people are following through on it. And so, yeah, I love that idea of just continuing it throughout the year, as far as like setting up these different, you know, events every month or two, or probably every 2 to 3 months with you guys, and having those opportunities. So what are some of the, you talked about the oil change, but what are some of the like activities that you're offering? Well, thanks again for joining us for this episode of Church Media HQ. And I do hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you are listening to podcast and on YouTube. And of course, I want to remind you again, Church Media HQ, while we love producing and putting out these weekly episodes, it is so much more than that. We have all kinds of resources for your church, many of them that you can access completely free. And you can access all of that at churchmediahq.com. That's churchmediahq.com. Well, thanks again for joining us. We are a production of the Must Increase Network. And to learn more about our other resources that we provide for churches and families, like our other podcast, Connection Culture, you can head over to mustincrease.com. And until next time, I do want to remind you to try something new at your church, because it's so much better to fail at trying something incredible than it is to succeed at doing just the average. I'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.